Well, it is good to see you tonight. Would you turn with me to the book of Exodus there in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus? We're going to continue our study tonight on the attributes of God, the characteristics of God. And we are just in awe of Him. He's so wonderful, incomprehensible, our God is. And tonight I want to just shine the light on the attribute of God's self-existence. He is the self-existing one. Notice with me chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, verse 11 through 15 is where I'll read. Here, most of us, I think, are familiar with the context here. Of course, Moses has been called of God to go and deliver the people from Egypt, the bondage and slavery. They are under Pharaoh. Could be as many as 2 million Israelites that are in slavery. Moses, on the backside of the desert, gets the call of God. And he was scared. He showed his human side. We all face that, don't we? We talked about that with the Good News Club today. It's a human, emotion. It's a human experience that we all go through, seasons where we're just scared, it could be the future. It could be, perhaps of the unknown. It could be many things, whatever takes place. It could be bad news from a family member. It could be something about our own health. There's so many avenues that come our way. And you know, God is going to assure us. One of the things that is a calming effect is he assures us of his wonderful character. God, the self-existing one, he's with us. And especially we recognize that in times that we're fearful and scared. So Moses experienced that, right? So God's going to explain to him, even though he's not sure how all this is going to happen. By the way, that is the life of faith. You know, that's a good proof that it's a faith. I don't know how all this is going to turn out, but I believe this is what God is doing. That's a life of faith, right? If we all knew all the answers and how everything was going to work out, would it be by faith? No. Wouldn't need to exercise any faith, would we? We'd know all the facts. We'd know everything, how it's going to work out. So, hey, no faith needed. That's not the way God's plan works. He calls us to a life of faith. So let's pick up. So verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? And that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee. We're in chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. I'm in 12 right now. And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said more unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Let's pray. Father, I do want to thank you and praise you for your goodness to us. Lord, just allow us to be together on a Wednesday night here among the brethren, just gathered around the Word of God. And we do look to you, Holy Spirit. I need you, Spirit of God, to just use me as a vessel tonight. Please speak to hearts here deeply, Lord. I can't do that. I have no ability to do that. But God, I'm well aware that even on a Wednesday night service where we would have a smaller group gathered, God, you can bring great revival in any size meeting. And I do pray you do that tonight. Spirit of God, meet with us and fill this place with your presence. Help us to grow stronger and to be thankful. Would you bless the prayer meeting to follow? And may it be anointed and blessed of thee. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned last week, I'm basing my study on the attributes of God off A.W. Tozer's The Attributes of God. I'm not sure if you've ever had an opportunity to read his two-volume set on the attributes of God, but absolutely excellent. I highly recommend it for your library. It'll help you. It'll stretch you and encourage you. I've been encouraged by it. And so a lot of what I am sharing with you tonight are things that he shared in his writings. And I just am really blessed by it. And I hope you will be as well. I am, he says, you tell them, I am, have sent you. This is God's name. This is one of his names. We worship. We technically could pray, I am. We honor you tonight. The great I am. We bow our hearts before you. You are the I am. And we absolutely adore you. And we exalt you. He is the I am. He's the self-existing one. And I believe that the Lord is teaching Moses a lot about who he is in this account. And I hope that we can draw from it as well. Now, you notice he did say that in verse 15, he's going to tell this not only to the children of Israel, but they're going to hear this, and it's going to be a testimony to them for generations to come. Well, here we are. Here we are. Thousands of years later, a testimony. The I am. The great I am. Now, let me say this about when it comes to talking about God's attributes. When we're talking about God's attributes, we're not talking about what God is composed of. All right? And what I mean by that is we as created beings are composed of different aspects, right? We have body, and we have soul, we have spirit. We are made up, but the main reason we're composed is because we have a composer, and he's the self-existing one, the one who was not made. He's always been. And when we think of God's attributes, it's just to be clear that we are talking about someone that is not made up of many things. He is all of these things. They are all perfectly unified. And we have to differentiate that, because if you're not careful, I think some people maybe they do it ignorantly. But we have to be careful not to worship God's attributes. You know, that's not what we do. We don't worship his attributes. We worship him. It's who he is. So again, therefore, we understand he is not made of parts as we are. He exists in simple unity. God is one with himself, without parts. And God's attributes, as I mentioned a moment ago, they're not God. And we clarify that. And one of the, I think, the easiest ways to define, and a simple way, I should say, to define what are God's attributes, it is what God says about himself. It's what God says about himself. And he declares that here, and to Moses, that he is the I am. The I am hath sent you. Now think about this. As we seek to understand the attributes of God, our purpose is to know God better. I think about even on a Wednesday night, like tonight. What is our purpose here? Our ultimate purpose is to get to know the Lord better, right? It's not just to know about Him. Although in the Bible study tonight, we'll learn some things about God. And that's necessary. But the goal is to know Him. We can get to know Him better and better. But one thing we all understand, I believe, tonight is that we'll never know God to the fullest extent. Because He's God. You can't exhaust God, right? You just cannot. But we can get to know Him better, and even in eternity, we're going to be knowing Him better and better. It's like, you know, all human analogies have holes in them, right? You know, they're not perfect. But I married Joanna, 17 years ago. And I've got to know a lot about her. But the greatest joy has been getting to know her, not just about her. Falling in love with her over and over again. And just learning her heart for God and how we can serve God better together and encourage each other, compliment each other. There's just a growing intimacy that should be in our marriages. And what that is, it's not just learning facts about each other, which that's a part of it. It's fun. We were just reminiscing over Thanksgiving about things that we experienced as traditions very different in our families. That we did around Thanksgiving. I'm sure you can relate that you, maybe your spouse or someone, you had a different traditions. And those things are fun, right? You learn facts about that, and that can be helpful to understand some context. But really, what the joy of a relationship is just knowing each other. And that's what we're doing with the Lord. We don't come in here to church to fill our head with just facts about God. We don't have our kids down there in master clubs pumping these verses in them just to learn facts about God. These teenagers meeting tonight, we're not just trying to pump their head full of facts about God. Our goal here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church and each of our hearts is to come here because we want to know Him. We want to know the Lord intimately, genuinely, walking with God. And I believe that when we look at the characters of the Word of God, the people that He used, it was people that were walking with Him, knowing Him. So that's, when we think upon these attributes, that's a part of it. And maybe a kind of a silly illustration a little bit to give you an idea. I gave you one on marriage, but even the fact about Brian Kemp. Let's just use him, Governor Brian Kemp, Governor of Georgia. All right, let's just say, I mean, I could learn a lot of facts about him. I could study about him, where he was born, where he was raised, not too far from here, when I understand. But nevertheless, I could learn about the things he likes and could learn about his family, whatnot. And then, you could study those things, and that would be learning about him. But really, that's not knowing him. Knowing him, I would need to live with him probably. I would need to maybe eat meals with him and travel with him and just spend life with him. You see the difference? And that's the difference between coming to church and just hearing a message and facts about God and saying, okay, rather than each day with the Word of God that is being taught and preached and what we're reading on our own, we are getting to know him. And that is I love that. I just thank God that we get to know him better and better. But I don't know much about Brian Kemp. I don't even know facts about him, but that's just a little illustration. And that's the goal of the Christian life, honestly, is to get to know the Lord. And by the way, the mind is always better engaged when we're thinking about him. Thinking about the Lord. Now, let's move over to when we're talking about the self-existing one, we understand that we are saying God always has been. From a human perspective, we think of origin, and the origin of man. But honestly, here tonight, when we talk about God, that doesn't fit with him because he is the originator. He is the one who spoke everything that is into existence. He has no composer. That therefore, he's not made up of parts. He is one, completely unified as one. And even in the context of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And one thing we understand tonight about the Trinity, everything that's true about God the Father is true about God the Son. Everything that's true about God the Son is true about God the Spirit. And they are perfectly unified. And when we talk about the Trinity, that's who we're talking about. Everything that is true of them is true of the three persons of the Trinity. They are co-equal, they are coexisting, and they are co-eternal. One was not thought of or started existing before the other. They always have been. I know this, again, this just, you know, your mind. But they always have been. I love to look at the kids when I'm talking about this. And you know, and they say, well, what was before God? Well, what was, you know? Well, there was nothing before God. God always has been. People throughout the ages have tried to deny the doctrine of the Trinity. In fact, there was a man by the name of Arius who tried to convince others that Jesus was just a good man. This was probably in the early 4th century and basically was just teaching that Jesus is not God. And by the way, that's what all false teachers attempt to do. And so thankfully there was a group of godly men, spirit-filled men, God-fearing men who came together and they met together, a council, and discussed this false teaching and wrote a creed, if you will, to confront the false teaching. And you can read about it. It's called the Creed after Athanasius. And that was early 4th century. And it was a creed that was directly towards, again, the teaching that Jesus was just a good man. In fact, I'm going to read just a small part of what this creed said. This is what we believe, that we worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither blending their persons nor dividing their essence. For the person of the Father is a distinct person. The person of the Son is another, and that of the Holy Spirit still another. But the divinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one. They are their glory equal, their majesty co-eternal. What quality the Father has, the Son has, and the Holy Spirit has. The Father is uncreated. The Son is uncreated. The Holy Spirit is uncreated. The Father is immeasurable. The Son is immeasurable. The Holy Spirit is immeasurable. The Father is eternal. The Son is eternal. The Holy Spirit is eternal. And yet there are not three eternal beings. There is but one eternal being. So too, they are not three uncreated or immeasurable beings. There is but one uncreated and immeasurable being. Similarly, the Father is almighty. The Son is almighty. The Holy Spirit is almighty. Yet there are not three almighty beings. There is but one almighty being. Thus, the Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Yet there are not three gods. There is but one God. Thus, the Father is Lord. The Son is Lord. The Holy Spirit is Lord. Yet there are not three lords. There is but one Lord. You see, false teaching has tried to say there is not a God that is three in one. Islam teaches that. Mormonism teaches that. The Russellites, Jehovah's Witnesses, teach that. And so on. But God Himself declares that He is the self-existing one, the great three in one. So we understand tonight that everything comes from somewhere except for God. Everything does. He is the cause of all things. In fact, He is called the uncaused cause. God Himself is the originator of everything else. So when I think of God's self-existence tonight, I think of the fact that how it even affects our walk with Him and our prayers, even on a prayer meeting like tonight. How should it affect my prayer life? Well, one of the things that we should desire in prayer is that we should desire, as I mentioned at the beginning of the lesson, what should be our greatest desire in our prayer life? I believe it is this. Our greatest desire in our prayer life should be to get to know Him. Yes, to ask for things He commands us to. Yes, to praise Him, and we do. It is to present our needs. Yes, we do. We ask. We have petitions. We intercede. But of all things that should be the number one goal, it is getting to know our God, the self-existing one. God Himself is the best gift that we can have. It's not the things He gives us. If you consider Himself, it is the best. Himself, God Himself, is the greatest gift at all, of all. But we all understand there's something that gets in the way of knowing the self-existing one. Anybody want to guess what it is? Self. Self, our self, gets in the way of knowing the self-existing one. It's called sin. So when I think of this tonight, I think of even a definition of sin could be basically fallen self or fallen selfhood. Because God says, I am, and this is what man says, I will. Sin says, I'll be self, myself. And so what happens is the sinner becomes his own little God. In fact, if you take all the evil acts of mankind, you could label them honestly as symptoms of a much deeper problem. In fact, Paul even does that in Galatians. You know, he goes through the list in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh. Even in Colossians, it makes a list of the sins of the spirit, sins of the flesh. And you go all of those things. And I thought it was interesting that Tozer pointed out that those are all really technically symptoms of self asserting itself. Basically, self is on the throne. When all those sins take place, they are symptoms of our self asserting itself on God's throne. And so we have to understand that when we come to God in prayer, it is coming to Him in a spirit of submission, saying, Lord, You are the self-existing one. You are the one to be on the throne of my heart. You are to be the one who is leading my life. You know, I can sit here and say all day that it's my temper that it's the problem. It's not my temper. It's asserting myself. It's me in control instead of the self-existing one being in control in and through me. And you can go down the line of all the sins that you struggle with. We all do, different ones, of course. But nevertheless, as I think upon these tonight, think about the Lord when He, in the doctrine of being the self-existing one, He never was created. In fact, think upon this statement here. as God is saying to mankind, I was not made, I am. I love this here. I made you for my love. Isn't that beautiful? God made you and He made me for His love, to love us. I made you for my love. I made you to worship, honor, and glorify me. I made you to love. I made you, I love this, I made you to love you and hold you and give myself to you. Isn't that beautiful? God made you, God made me to hold me, to give Himself to me, for me. He made us so that we could understand the beauty of worship and honor and glorifying the self-existing one. Someone would say, well, God is conceited. I've heard that. He's self-absorbed. And a lot of times, I'm going to be honest with you, these things, and I'm not saying this as a cop-out, but I really believe these things are spiritually discerned. The natural man is not going to receive the things of God. But what I would say to a person that says something of that nature, you have to understand, God is the originator of love. And that's why it says God is love. God is holy. God is grace. God is merciful. God is kind. God is judge. God is just. Like I mean, we don't. Those are all those things that His attributes that describe who He is, and they all are perfectly harmonious and unified. And when I think of the Lord, He created love because He is love. And does He love Himself? Well, God the Father loves the Son. God the Son loves the Father. God the Father and God the Son love the Spirit, and God the Spirit love God the Son and God the Father. So could you say that God loves Himself? Yes, because He is perfect in love. He is love. He's the self-existing one. And I believe tonight, as we think upon this doctrine, let's just make sure that the self-existing one is on the throne of our hearts. That we're not self-existing or trying to self-exist. Because that's not our place. That's what happened to Satan. You remember? He asserted his will. He said, God put him in a prominent position of leading the angels and leading the worship. And I believe I will be like the Most High. I will be self-existing. God says, no, that's not going to happen. And humans have tried to do that. But let's understand something very clear tonight. The self-existing one wants the very best for His children. He wants the very best. And He knows where we're at. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're doing. But let's do this tonight. As we talked about even in our Thanksgiving message, I think the Lord reminded us of that truth. We come tonight just to give our self-existing one the praise for Himself. He alone is worthy of all adoration and all reverence and all just, oh God, You're so good. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this truth tonight. You are the self-existing one. And Lord, though I know we are going to be limited, and we are limited on understanding certain aspects of You, Lord, I'm thankful that in Your Word and through Your Spirit, You give us so much to glean, so much to grow in, so much to understand. And Lord, I'm thankful we're going to have all eternity to get to know You better and better. And I pray that even here on this earth, Lord, that we would make it our mission as individuals, as a church, to get to know our Lord, to love Him, to cherish Him, to praise Him, and to live our lives completely sold out to Him. Oh God, thank You so much for being the all-powerful One. We worship You, the great I Am. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.